اهلا وسهلا مرحبا.
مركز صحابة اون لاين راديو
امباورنج ذا يمه.
ويلكم يا مصطفى.
السلام عليكم ورحمه الله وبركاته. مفتي ساب، هوب يو ويل ان شاء الله.
Alhamdulillah, everything is fine. Today I'm going for hijama, inshallah.
MashaAllah, practicing upon the sunnah. Is this your first time, Mufti Sahib?
No. I've been doing it for years, alhamdulillah.
Okay, MashaAllah. So once a year, or how does it work?
No, well, the hijama guy says, for me, since I'm 69 next month, so he said every other month for me would be okay.
Okay, alhamdulillah. I went.
Some people do it every month.
So you do it every?
So I try to do it every other month, every second month. So 6 times a year.
Okay, mashallah. And is there a particular reason or just because of practicing on the sunnah?
Well, yes, practicing on sunnah, it's good for health. There's too many hadith on it. The night of the Mirage, the Prophet said that he never passed by a group of angels that asked him, was his ummah doing hijama? I find that, well, learning from the people, or from the people who are expert in it, they understand that only your bad blood comes out. Okay? And so this is, for men, it's a good way for the bad blood to come out. The women, it comes out every month with their menses. All right, so that's how they clean their system. But we don't have that system, so hijama is the best system for that. I had one friend, the friend that recommended me to this person of doing it, when he would go and get hijama done, and he was teenager, early 20s, every time, he would go every month. And the day after that he did it, it looked like he went to the gym and lifted weights. His body looked so different. Okay, so that got me interested. I followed behind him. But my body doesn't get big like that after hijama. But alhamdulillah, I feel better though. I do have a lot more energy for a couple of days. And you just feel a whole lot better, alhamdulillah.
It actually got bigger, or it just looked healthier?
Both. Both. His arms looked bigger. You could see. It was clear. It looked like he had been to the gym and worked out for about 2 hours on the heavyweights.
So, Mufti Saab, you went then and you expected the same effect?
No, I didn't expect the same effect, no. But I had wanted to get it done when I was in America, but didn't know anybody that could do it. And then I got an infection over here where I was in, I couldn't walk for a while. And so they didn't want to do hijama at that time because I had lost a lot of blood. Finally, after I graduated from the madrasa, I found someone, and he was good. He's taught by Dr. Amjad Rahmatullahi, who spread hijama all through Karachi. He trained so many people. So he trained this brother and the brother's wife. And so this brother does me, and his wife used to do my wife before she went back to Germany. Alhamdulillah, it's good stuff.
And your personal effects that you felt, maybe you can share with the listeners so that they can also feel motivated to bring alive the sunnah.
Yeah, not feeling tired at all, you know, energy. And not so much more energy to do anything, but taking longer before you become tired. You see, a normal day, you know, getting tired and wanting to go to bed early. But with the hijama, it's not that you feel so much more energy, but you just don't get tired. You look at your watch, wow, it's late. I don't feel tired at all with this type of effect, you know? So, alhamdulillah. And your bowels and, you know, your stool and everything, also that straightens out also. That if you have problems with loose motions or something like that, it regulates your bowels also, at least for a couple of days.
Mm. So, alhamdulillah, I've done it about twice, I think. The first time, I fainted because they told me you mustn't eat anything and this and that, so you must let, I don't know how many hours go by with no eating. I don't know if Mufti Saab, you do the same thing, you don't eat before.
Yeah, it's 4 hours, 4 hours of no eating.
Yeah, so...
Normally I do it on a Monday or a Thursday if I can, if it's the odd day, because I'm always fasting that day anyway for me. But today is Tuesday, so I won't, after Zohar Namaz, after Azan for Zohar, I won't eat anything else.
Okay.
Because he's going to come after Asr. Before Maghrib.
Mm. I've seen the Chinese, someone gave me a gift, in fact, and it's, but I haven't used it. It's a Chinese cupping. But this is air cupping, and it's nothing, you cannot ever compare it to the Sunnah. And they say it's beneficial and all of this, but just when you know it's Chinese, you just tend to take it very lightly. So,
yeah, that's, I think they call that dry cupping.
Yes, dry cupping.
Yeah, yeah. So my hijama guy, you know, I have five children. So they were young when he first started with me. Mm. So he said, no, we won't do real cupping with them, but we'll do dry cupping with them. All right. So for the children, like 4-year-old, 5-year-old child, like that, there's nothing wrong with that, the dry cupping.
I was going to ask if you have children, but I don't want to sound personal, or maybe you wouldn't be too comfortable. But Shukar, you said it anyways. So you've got five, mashallah.
Yeah, I have 3 in America and 5 in Germany. I have 8 children, 2 boys and 6 girls. When Allah loves you, He sends you girls. So He loves me a lot. He gave me 6 girls.
Mashallah, mashallah. And actually, that fits in with the topic that I wanted to speak to you about. Yesterday, I don't have Elon Musk as a follower on X. I just said, let me see what's X all about. I know we delayed and whatever it is. But if we're able to maintain and control, like, you know, Facebook, you can't. It's totally impossible. You just get all these posts coming on and women coming on. You can't really control what you see. But X, I'm seeing, maybe there is. We're still testing it out. But anyway, yesterday this post came on from Elon Musk. And it wasn't a personal post, of course. We must remind you, Mufti Saab, Elon Musk grew up here in our South Africa, in Pretoria. He's a Pretoria boy. And he went to a...
Is he South African?
He's South African, yes. Elon Musk is South African.
He grew up there, he was born there.
Yeah, and he went to Pretoria school, and then he started all of this here. He went to an all-boys school. So, all boys, for, you know what all boys means? All girls.
Okay. Well, we have... There was no girls.
No, all boys means all girls. Huh? All girls school. Because most of the boys turn out girls.
Okay, all right, okay.
But anyway, he posted this yesterday. And I was shocked to see it from him. Yesterday, last week, in fact, last week Friday, we reported it as well. There was a Russian lawmaker, and she said that Russians are not, they are obese. That is why the pregnancy rate is where it is. Fertility is at its lowest. So we then, you know, commented on our own. It's not that your women are obese. It's the fact that you're following the whole German, or the whole, not German, but the Western culture. So Elon Musk said that Europe is dying. And then he posted this whole thing of the stats, Europe's fertility crisis. And they chose the birth rates for 2022. And you can see most continents such as Poland, and you see Italy, Spain, it's completely red. That means less than 1.2 babies per woman. Less than 1.2 babies. And if you see, the most that it has is about 2.1 per woman. And that's maybe you can find in Sweden and countries like this. But if you're looking at most of Europe, it's a dying nation. And alhamdulillah, we say to the Muslims, you carry on, Mufti Saab. I know you're 69. It's still not too late. Inshallah, you can increase the ummah as well.
Well, four of my children were born after the age of 50.
Mashallah.
Okay. But yeah, Germany's population is actually decreasing, but because of the Turks that are there, who are also German now, the population is like steady or a little bit increasing. My in-laws, okay? My wife has three brothers, okay? None of them have children. All right? She has children for me, all right? Five, okay? And there are many, many families that are like that, that they don't have any children because, number one, in Germany, it is the center of the Rainbow Coalition. All right, the LGB, okay, they're the capital in Europe, so they're not having, they're not having children, and the people who are heterosexual, because of it takes so much money to live the lifestyle that you want to live, all right, even they don't marry, they may move together, but they won't marry, all right, and. They won't have children, so they can maintain their lifestyle, a nice car and everything. So they're not having children. And then you have some who are in jail, okay, so they can't have children. You have men who are on drugs, and women don't want to get pregnant from a man who's on drugs. So, yeah, you have a lot of women who, would like to have children, but first they have to have their career. And when they get 30 years old, then their body clock starts ticking, and they want to have one child. And that's about it. That's all you have time for. Now, my wife, when I got her pregnant, she was 25, okay? And she was a nurse, okay, before. And she said after we've had five children in 6 years, okay, she said she wished that she had married earlier and she would have had the children earlier. Because as she got older, it became more difficult.
Exactly.
And she started at 25. Okay.
Exactly. And
so
It makes so total sense because generally this has not just, it's not the Western culture only. We see it's creeping in our Muslims as well, where they say that we must have... we must have a break. So we have one child, then 5 years in between, and then the next. But as you've said, that this now, imagine growing up a child, and especially for a woman, who has to go through all of that difficulty at such a late age. Then there's all these regrets that comes about. They call it family planning and family spacing. In fact, our domestic... She said to my family that they have to go for some family planning, like a meeting or something, and they discuss. It's like something that is formal, and they actually put it into like, okay, at this time we'll have this child, at this time. But I'm like, you're a domestic, and why do you have to go through all of this?
Well, what about the expression, this was an unplanned pregnancy? When they have two, they have two children right away. Oh, the second one, oh, that was unplanned. We didn't plan that one. It just happened.
It didn't work.
You got to do something in order for it to happen.
Something wasn't functioning.
Subhanallah. My mother, she's a good Christian. Okay. In America, I have three children in America. Okay. And I had the first one, okay, in 81. And the girl was born in 82. All right. As soon as the girl was born, my mother said, okay, don't have any more children. You got it. You have a set. You have one of each. So you don't need to have any more children. So that's the thinking in the West.
Exactly.
Because you can't afford it.
Exactly.
All right. And what's her name? Benazir Bhutto, when she was alive, she promoted have two. Mm. Only have two. You can afford it. If you have too many, then you have to buy more beds and, you know, more clothing and more school fees and, you know, your income won't cover it. So only have two. You can manage two. And people are telling me that. Mm. I can handle two. I don't want more children. What? Are you crazy?
Mufti Saab, we've come to the end and we will leave you with a message that you can have two more, inshallah.
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 Okay. Inshallah. I can say it now. Yes, I'm engaged. Inshallah, I will be married after Ramadan. Inshallah. Next year.
And we must remind our listeners, Mufti Saab is 69 years of age. So, alhamdulillah,
yes.
Keeping the spirit going. Make dua for us, Mufti Saab. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.